Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Wow. We've got it all going on. It's exciting. Christmas is almost here. Now, how many people have still got some Christmas shopping to do? Lift your hands. A bunch of you, okay. It's a great time of year. And, you know, Christmas is awesome because it's fun, it's family, it's feasting, it's frivolity, anything else starting with it, I don't know, but it's exciting. There's lots going on. But above and beyond all of that, we need to remember the reason for the season. John the Baptist is walking along. He sees Jesus and he says these words, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And if you haven't experienced that Jesus, an encounter with Christ that saves your soul, at the end of the service, we'll be giving you an opportunity just to simply raise your hand and begin a journey down the road of life and into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Christmas is all about. And this afternoon, 4 o'clock, we're going to be here. The Christmas Spectacular is going to be fantastic. There's going to be a lot going on. So bring your families, get on the phone, call some people up. We're bringing extended family along to that who aren't in church, and it's going to be great to see them here. The kids on the rides, it's going to be wonderful. Okay, now, Jesus comes. He's the reason for the season. He comes to die for the sins of the world. But it wasn't sort of a whoops moment for God. You know, Adam and Eve fall, mankind's plunged into sin. God scrambling, has to come up with an idea, goes, what am I going to do? No. In fact, quite to the contrary, God knows exactly what's going on. And it says here in the book of Revelation, talking about Jesus, it says this, talking about Christ, it says, "He is the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world." The Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Now, here's the thing, guys. This morning's message is you are known. Last week, we had Pastor James Edwards, the disciple of love. The disciple, the hoodoo love guru himself. And it was all about you are loved. It was incredible. But today, it's all about being known. And the same God who knew from before the creation of the world that Jesus would come and die for your sins and for mine knows all about you. You are known. See, where does God live? If this is time, and there's the creation of the world, and there's the second coming of Jesus, if that's time, where's God? God is everywhere. God lives in eternity. Everybody say eternity. Arthur Stace, the great Sydney sider, many, many years ago, went around Sydney writing the words eternity. This guy was a thief. He was illiterate. He heard a pastor, I think it was John Ridley, preaching on eternity. And this preacher said, you know what? I wish the word eternity would reverberate around the streets of Sydney. And Arthur Stace, this illiterate, petty criminal who had come to Christ and had had his life transformed some years before, walked outside of that meeting, saw a piece of chalk on the ground, picked it up, and wrote in beautiful copper plate script the word eternity. And he said, I found my life's mission. And every morning he'd get up, get on a train, go to a suburb somewhere and begin to write, before anybody got up, write the word eternity all around the city of Sydney. He found his life's purpose. But God doesn't live in time. God lives in eternity. Everybody say eternity. God lives in eternity. So you might go, oh, where am I from? What's the purpose of my existence? Before the world was created, Jesus was there to die for your sins, and you existed in the mind of God. We're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 139. If you just turn there, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, or it's going to come up on the screens, Psalm 139. Now, a lot of us have favourite psalms, Psalm 23, Psalm 91. They're all awesome. Psalm 1, Psalm 119. I think 176 verses, Psalm 119, all about the Word of God. It's incredible. But this is one of my favourite all-time psalms, and it's all about the fact that we're known. Psalm 139, verse 1 says this, "You have searched me, Lord." This is David speaking. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Because you see, the sermons tonight, today is all about you are known. Everybody say known. You are known. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive or you know my thoughts from afar. You discern or you know my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You are known." And because today you are known, turn to your neighbor and say, you're known by God. You're known. Because you're known, you are not an accident. You're not an accident. Now, I remember once, and you might have heard me tell the story before, but I was sitting in my office and a young couple from this church were getting married many years ago. And they came into my office and they sat down, and I have to go through and I have to look at all, I have to cite the birth certificates. I've got to photocopy them and fill out all the forms. And I looked at it and I looked at this gentleman's birth certificate. It had mother's name and there was the mum's name. And then it had father's name, unknown. I said, what is the story here? How come you don't know who your father is? He said this, "My mother was raped and I'm a result of that rape." And I suppose there's a big debate on abortion and all that sort of stuff. I suppose if anybody would be justified in getting an abortion, it would be that woman. But wait a minute, it gets worse. She was 17 and she was raped. So it gets worse. Wait a minute. She was 17, she was raped, and she was deaf and dumb. But you know what? This guy was brought up in a religious community, and his uncles, his cousins looked after him, his aunts. He got raised up, went away from God, had an incredible conversion, came back to this church, met Christ. He's now married. I think he's got 5 kids. And it's an amazing thing. Now, his father's name was unknown. And one time Pastor Phil was preaching and he looked at this guy and said, "Come up right now." And this guy came forward and Pastor Phil prophesied over him and he said, "I want you to know, says God, that you are not an accident, but God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life." Can we give Jesus a hand today? You're not, that young man was, now I don't know how it all works. I don't understand how that can, I don't know how it works, but Richard Forsyth does. See him at the end of the service. He will tell you everything you need to know. I know nothing. I don't know how it works. And by the way, I don't know your past, but I know your future. You are known by God. God's got a plan for your life. You are not an accident. Psalm 139, verse 16 says this, "Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me. All the days, the years, the months, the days, the seconds, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You are not an accident. You see, God lives in eternity. He's omnipotent, he's all powerful, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at once. He's also omniscient. He sees and knows everything, including you. And so God in eternity looked and he saw you before the world was created. You existed in the mind and in the imagination and in the plan and purpose of God. That's good news. That is good news. And Ephesians 1, come on, give Jesus a hand, because your life's got meaning and purpose. You're not an accident. Ephesians 1, 4 says this, for he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. In eternity, God saw you, knew you, loved you, planned for you, and created a Savior for you. He, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance, and I was preaching on this at the 8:30, and I hadn't noticed this, I wasn't going to mention this, in accordance with his pleasure and his will. We talk a lot about the will of God, but I just want to mention the reason you were born was not just for the will of God, it was for the pleasure of God. Because God looks at you, and I want you to know this morning, you put a smile on his face. He thinks you're absolutely fantastic. He's not mad at you, he's mad about you. He thinks you want to, it's for his pleasure. He made you just the way you are. He thinks you're beautiful. He thinks you're incredible. You are not an accident. You didn't evolve. There wasn't an explosion in outer space, and billions of years later, all these gases got together, and there was this sort of swamp, and your progenitor crawled out of it and suddenly began to grow eyes and an ear and a nose, and suddenly over billions, no, and it's all chance, and it's all maybe. No. You were created by God and for God. Come on. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Number one, because you're known, you're not an accident. Number two, because you're known, your uniqueness is there for a reason. Psalm 139, 13 to 14. I praise you. Sorry, verse 13. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your uniqueness, God, you are wonderfully, you're fearfully, you're incredibly made. See, when God created the earth, he placed all these resources in it. Iron, coal, and girls, you'll be pleased about this, gold. Diamonds. Come on. Gold, diamonds. Oil, coal, all the stuff. Bauxite. I don't know what they do with bauxite. Maybe they make boxes out of it. I don't know. I have no idea. But there's bauxite. There's copper. There's all this. All these resources were in the earth when God created it. And God knew that for thousands of years, mankind would not be able to access it. But when mankind got the knowledge, when he got the technology, when he had the need, God knew that mankind would access all those raw resources in the earth and use it to the betterment of mankind. So it is with you and I. Within each and every one of us, there's giftings, there's talents, there's abilities, there's a personality. That's unique to you. And I got saved when I was 20 and I was a lunatic. I was crazy. And that's just last week in the office. But prior to my salvation, I was even crazier. I was a bad person. But guess what? But guess what? There was more in me than what I knew. And there was stuff in me I didn't know existed. And when I got saved at the age of 20, all the giftings and talents and abilities that God had placed within my spirit started to get activated for God's glory, and it's the same with you. It's awesome. It's fantastic. We're all different. And it's wonderful. And you are wonderful. And there's uniqueness that you can do that I can't do, that Pastor Phil can't do, that Pastor James can't do. We can't do the stuff that you can do. And the great thing is just to relax and to be comfortable in your own skin. I mean, the woman who was most comfortable in her own skin in the Bible was Esther. And Esther, God made her, and ladies, I want you to know this morning, God made you beautiful for a reason, particularly Anna, who used to be Cullamore, who's now Saundercock. Mrs. Saundercock. Yes, there's two Mrs. Saundercocks in our church. And I tell you what, God made you beautiful. And Esther was made beautiful because God knew in his omniscience, in his providence, video to see, pro before, he knew that this maniac was going to come and try and destroy the Jews. And he got this beautiful woman to be selected to be the queen, so that at the fullness of time, that gifting that she had in her world could be released. She could save the entire nation of Israel. And Esther 4:14 says this, "Who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" This is your time. This is God's plan and purpose for you. You have come to royal position, or you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's awesome. Now, I remember recently I've probably told you the story before, but I was preaching at this church. It was in the city. In fact, Pastor Tim Lowe's church, who was up there giving all those stuff out to the farmers. I was preaching there a million miles an hour. And then I started to get a little bit overawed by all these incredible people who were there. But like today, what a great bunch. But in this church, and I began to realize I was preaching, virtually every one of them had a university degree and high-flying jobs, you know, and I'm going, oh, wow, I've started to get a little bit intimidated as I'm preaching, and all these really super smart people, because I dropped out, well, I finished high school, then I signed up to go to university in New Zealand and went for one day. But you used to get an allowance from the government, so I didn't tell the government for that year that I'd dropped out. So I kept going. So the New Zealand government, don't tell the New Zealand government. I told you I was a bad person. And there's all these smart people there. And I thought, if only I was as smart as them. And then I looked on the front row, and there was this business guy there who had started off these property franchises for a real estate company, and he had the number one and number two property franchises in Australia. And he was super entrepreneurial and super talented. And I went, if only I was super wealthy like that guy and super talented, if only I was a successful businessman, but I'm not. Then there was a guy on the other side, he was a guitar player and he'd just been playing in the church band. I thought, if only I was a rock star, I'd love to just play guitar, you know, and rock on, it'd be awesome. And then burn my guitar and then play it while it was still burning. Rock and roll, that's rock and roll. But I thought, you know what, I don't have any talent, I don't have any discipline, I don't have any ability with a musical instrument, I'm not a rock star. And then I looked at the back of the, this is a true story, this is not Pastor James, this is not a sermon illustration, it's a true story, okay. And then I looked at the back, and there was a guy who used to play rugby league for Australia, Jason Stevens, 6'4", 120 kilos, God made him big and mean so he'd run right over the top of people and smash them into the ground. I thought, oh, I used to play a bit of football when I was younger, but wasn't very good. And I thought, oh, if only I was as good a football player as that guy, wouldn't it be incredible? And then I got even more depressed because I looked and I saw Terrence. And Terence is this black male model from the Caribbean. And I'd be, he was sitting in the audience, and I'd be driving my car along on the back of a bus. There's Terence in his Speedos drinking a chocolate milk. There's Terence, he's sitting there listening to my message. I thought, if only I was like him, ridiculously, really, 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 ridiculously good looking. But I'm not. I fell out the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. But then I thought, wait a minute, Saundy. I'm going to be comfortable in my own skin. God has made me unique. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy being me. The love doctor. The only man living with a doctorate in love, do you hear? The preacher, mate, I'm going to be happy. And listen, be happy in your uniqueness of your personality. Enjoy being you. Come on. Come on, enjoy being you. And because you're known, you're not an accident, because you're known, your uniqueness is there for a reason, and because you're known, your future is incredible. Psalm 139, 17 to 18 says this, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand on every beach and every desert in the world, because God is always thinking about me." In fact, the Bible says you're engraved on the palm of God's hand, and that He's loved you with an everlasting love. And when they came to Jesus, he said these words, "The thief comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." God has got your future is bright because you're known by God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 to 13 is the quintessential passage on this in the Old Testament, in my personal opinion. And again, it's all about knowing. Everybody say no. And Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know." God knows. God knows. What is the future going to bring? I don't know, but God knows. And if I stay on track, if I stay in the parameters that God has for my life, it's going to be filled with blessing. "For I know the plans," and I've said it before in here, let me repeat it, God does not have a plan for your life. He's got plans. Your life and your future's too big to simply have one plan. When we built a house in Warriewood, we didn't just get a plan, we got plans. We got a plan for the electricity lines. We got the power lines, whatever. We got electricity for the water. We got plans for the foundation, for the slab. We got plans for the roof. We got plans for the outside of the building. We got plans for every bedroom. We had plans. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. Plans, everybody say plans, "to prosper you and not to harm you." Plans, everybody say plans, "to give you a hope and a future." Because you're known, I know the plans. God knows the plans. And it's awesome and it's exciting. And for just a few of you today, and you're thinking, "Yeah, well, I'm getting a bit on and I'm not as young as I used to be," let me just say this to you today, and I haven't got this, this won't be going up on screen, but it says, Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins." I was thinking about this as I was sitting here in the worship. "Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth," oh yeah, "is renewed, God's into renewable energy, people. I just thought of that. I'm a genius. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. You might be a mature age person today. You need to just get into God and allow the renewing power of the Holy Spirit to renew your youth so that there may be a few K's on the clock, but there's plenty of tread on the tires. Your youth renewed. God's in a renewable energy, and I've got a bunch of it this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Because you're known, you've got an incredible future. Because you're known, you can be secure in this life and in the life to come. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus is here that we might have not only abundant life in this world, but in the world to come, everlasting life. Psalm 23, verse 5 says this, you prepare. Now, I'm just thinking about this now, because God knows what's coming. And he's got something. It's not a, oops, I've got to scramble now, because this, no. God's in the preparation business. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, people say about Saundy, they say, Saundy, are you a glutton? Now, we've got a bunch of people here. I'm going to do a survey. How many people here are, now be honest, just be honest, it's all good. God loves you, thinks you've had it. How many people here are glass half full people? Anybody? Just, you know, it's life and, you know, we'll get there, it's okay, but, you know, glass half full. Glass half empty. How many people are glass half full people? Put your hands up. Yeah, everything's going to be okay. Listen, I'm neither. Because Psalm 23 says this, my cup runs over. It runs over. My cup runs over. There's an abundant life. I have come that you might have it super abundantly. Why? Because I'm known. Because I'm loved. Because I'm accepted. And it's incredible. And whatever we face in life, the worst case scenario, and I'm being serious here, because I was in hospital with one of our members during the week, and his wife was saying to me, Mark, and this guy went to hospital twice, they turned him away twice. The second time in an ambulance, they turned him away. The third time, he got in, and he's in hospital. This week, respirators, the works, and his wife rang me and said, Mark, they said if they hadn't have accepted into hospital, he would have died. So that's one of our church. Although I must say, I visited Dell Grove. Dell, put your hand up. I visited Dell. Now, this is the hospital just up the road. And by the way, the hospitals do a fantastic job. We've got a couple of nurses here. You know, God knows it. But Dell's there in hospital. And I went into a room because I think, were you getting a knee operation or something? Knee operation. Hip. She had a hip. She's getting a hip operation. And she's sitting there and she's got this big pencil line with an arrow. And I said to her, Dell, I'm so disappointed that you are awake. If you're asleep, I would have rubbed it out and then drawn one on the other side. Just for the fun of it. Just to have a bit of fun. What a pastoral visit that would be, right? I can't remember what I was talking about now. I have no idea. But you're looking at me going, I have no idea what you're talking about either, right? Okay. But you know what? The life to come. The worst case scenario, by the way, for that gentleman that I visited this week, the worst case scenario is this, that he dies and goes to heaven. And guys, just a note here. Good news, we're all going to die. Okay, now here's the thing. We're all humans. We're all going to die. But Vince Lombardi, the great American football coach, said this about football. He said, everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. That's about winning a championship. You all want it, but you're not. Now listen, the worst case scenario, guys, is that we're going to die. One day we're all going to die. We're going to go to heaven. And listen, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. Jeff, can you send me an email back and tell me what it's like? Okay. You're going to... Jeff, you don't have to do that because I've already got the email. And it's awesome. Because you're known... because you're known, there's a place. There's a place here for you. But as we move on, there's a place in heaven for all of us. There's room for us. There's room for our family members who aren't with us at the moment. And we're believing God for them to come to Christ. There's room. And it's going to be incredible. Because you're known. Because you're known, you're not an accident. Your future's incredible. You've got unique giftings and talents. And you're going to have an incredible future in this life and in the life to come, because we're known by God.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow, so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.